Everyone standing on your feet all over the room. Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter. My wonderful sound team, do me a favor and just turn me up just a little bit, please. I appreciate it. Hallelujah. Thank you. Just turn me up a little bit. I know you got to do it in the house, not down here. It's all good. I get it. Amen. Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter, we're going to find ourselves in the 6th verse. Short verse of scripture, but very powerful. Very powerful. The word of God reads, "For the Lord your God will bless you just as he promised." Man, I could stop right there. "For the Lord God will bless you just as he promised you. You shall lend to many nations, but you should not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you." I want to preach to you this morning right in that space. The Lord God will bless you as he has promised you. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening and makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and discern the intentions of our heart. Father, speak such a word to us today that it changes our very nature, that it causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus, that it transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Touch every heart so it's open to receive that word. Anoint every ear so that we can hear it. Father, the most important thing today is that you have your way. Do whatever it is you want to do. This is your house and we are your people. So I stand in my spiritual authority at this moment and I bind every spirit except the Holy Spirit. And I say, God, have your way as you see fit. Do what only you can do. Heal like only you can heal. Set free like only you can set free. I pray that no one leaves this place the way they came, but that we're all changed by the power of the true and living God. And we'll give you all the praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. You agree? Shout amen. Come on, turn to your neighbor, smile as bright as you can, show them everything God has blessed you with. Come on, pearly whites, dark yellows, whatever color your teeth are. And say, it's God's move. It's God's move. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. It's God's move. It's God's move. And not only is it God's move, but it's God's move, and his move is new or it's never. I'm going to say it one more time. It's new or it's never. It's not a matter of now with God, but it's a matter of new with God. And what I mean by that is that you have to understand that one of the biggest things that you must know as a believer is that there is a battle going on. The battle that is going on, yes, includes our adversary, obviously. He is the accuser of the brethren, but that is not the overall battle. The overall battle, if you will, is smaller than that fight. That fight is the ultimate war, and that has already been won through Jesus Christ. The battles that I'm talking about is the one that rages within. It is the battle of the mind and the spirit. It is the battle that we contend with every day as believers when we get up in the morning and have to decide whether or not we're going to trust God today. It is where we are called to walk by faith and not by sight. It is called being doers of the word and not just hearers only. It is the battle that when we're frustrated and grow angry with God as believers, despite the fact that he has done everything for us, but somehow in our discontent with our walk with the Lord and our discontent with where we are in life, we find ourselves enraged with the fact that we are confused about what God is doing in our lives. Look at your neighbor and say, he done already did something. He done already did something. In other words, you have to conclude that you must not be looking for God to do more than what he has already done. However, when it comes to God's move, it's a matter of new or never. In other words, in what we do, coming together and collaborating on a Sunday morning when we could choose to do many different things and many other things, we decide to gather and come to the house of God for the sole purpose of being the ecclesia or the church. And when we do that, it brings our mind back to a focus that we came to see him high and lifted up. And one of the greatest ways to bring your mind back into focus is to know what has already been done and to know the victory that's already been won for you. Ultimately, you have to understand that your soul, my God, is saved. And that means that, if you will, your spirit man was regenerated, and the part of you that thinks and hopes and wants, come on here somebody, has to constantly be in the progress of being renewed and refreshed daily. And so it is in that space that you have the battle. But look at your name and say, but God bless me for the battle. Yes, he did. In other words, the game that is being played right now is the one in your mind. And there are only three battle tactics. As a matter of fact, there are only three battle tactics in war. There is an all-out assault, if you will. There's a charge, an all-out assault to cause your enemy to be caught off guard. Or, if you will, there's a tactical approach where you learn all the weaponry of your enemy or your adversary, and you get weaponry that can outgun, if you will, your adversary. That's the tactical approach. And lastly, there's an approach that our adversary loves to play on us, and it's the approach of exhaustion. In other words, to keep moving the battle scene from place to place and cause you to travel to fight. God, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. In other words, in your mind, that is the place where the enemy wants to defeat you, at the place of exhaustion, by getting you to travel from past, present, and future in your mind consistently. Look at your name and say, he just described my pain. Y'all ain't said nothing. In other words, every day of your life, you're thinking about what happened, or you're thinking about what's about to happen. Y'all ain't said nothing. Or you're concerned about what's going on in the moment. And in all of those things, you don't calculate in the equation that God is outside of the trappings of exhaustion, because he is the same yesterday, today, I wish I had help, and forevermore. This is expressly why Jesus says, give no thought for tomorrow, but seek first the kingdom of God. Look at your name and say, all I got is now. Come on here. I got, and now means new. I wish I had a church in here. All I got is this moment. I can't get yesterday back. Yesterday is over, and tomorrow I don't hold in my hands, but I do know who holds tomorrow. So the only thing I can impact is right now. And so right now I choose to bless the Lord at all times, and let his praises continually be in my mouth. Right now, I might be confused about what's going to happen tomorrow, but since I'm not in tomorrow, I'm going to worry about today. And because I can only impact today, I choose to give God glory today. I choose to believe that he's the I am and the I am. I believe, my God, I wish I had just three quarters of a church. Not even half. Y'all ain't said nothing. I choose to believe that he is my shepherd and I shall not want. I choose to believe that I can be in the middle of all types of chaos and 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but none of it touches me. I choose to believe that there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Slap your name and say, what do you choose to believe? Oh, I'm going to shake you up this morning. What do you choose to believe? Either you're going to choose that you fight from victory, or you're going to believe that you're fighting for victory. I have to enlighten you. When it comes to your spiritual life, you have already one, if you have named the name of Jesus Christ, baby, you have already won. For Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Therefore, sickness, sin, or death no longer has power or reign or rule over your life. I wish I had somebody. That means you're healed from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. That means you are forgiven and your sins have been thrown in the sea of forgetfulness. That means my... Slap your name and say, I already got the victory. I'm going to preach this thing whether you like it or not. And watch me now. The reason why most can't shout is because of present circumstance. Present circumstance will always make you question what God did. And therefore frustrates you about what he's doing. Because you've forgotten what he did. You forgot that all power is in his hand. And you forgot when he got up, you got up. And you forgot, my God, that there's a prayer that cannot fail. And that prayer is not your prayer. It's the prayer that's being prayed over you at this very moment by Jesus Christ himself, who is now your chief intercessor, seated at the right hand of God, praying that your faith does not fail. Just touch your name and say, the Lord is praying for me. I don't need nobody. I wish I had somebody else. He is praying for me. And when I'm confused about that, he sent his brother, the Holy Spirit. Y'all ain't said nothing. To also intercede on my behalf, that when I'm confused about who I am in God, he bears witness with my spirit. The devil is a liar. He bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of the living God. Just touching him, say, ain't no confusion over here. I'm saved, saved, saved. I wish I had a church. Go on, touch him again. I ain't confused. I'm blood bought and blood washed, saved by the blood of the Lamb. And I have the ability to overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. I don't care what's going on in your life. Don't confuse your salvation with your circumstance. God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Well, Pastor, I got cancer. You're still saved, which means you have the possibility to be healed. Y'all sit down. No. Salvation is everything. Because when you understand that premise, then you'll never complain about how God moves you. How can a man who lost everything that was dear to him, his career, his possessions, his family, his kids gone, his wife says, just go ahead and denounce God and die. What kind of wife is that? Thank God I'm not married to that woman. Y'all ain't said nothing. I wish I had a church in here. My God. But the man that went through all that got up and said, though he slay me, yet shall I trust. Circumstance has nothing to do with your relationship with God. The battle and the turf of which this thing is fought over is not the earth per se in terms of the earth, but it's actually the earth, which means it's really you. The ground that's being fought over is not the grass that you walked over to come in here, but it is the earth, the dirt, that is you. And what better way than to fight an opponent by not showing up for the fight? You don't get what I'm saying. And keep the opponent exhausted by training for something they already got victory for. I'm preaching way better than y'all show. See, the enemy, oh God, keeps us training for something we already got victory over. So you come to church to be healed. You come to be something. You come to be when you already are. It's the state in which your mind chooses to live. Okay, I'm get to. All right. Touch your name. Say that. I'm sorry, Pastor got carried away with the intro. Just get carried away with the intro. You have to get within you the ability to understand that there should be a charge in your spirit and in your mind. Look at your neighbor and say, I got to find my charge. I'll explain it here in just a second. I got to find my charge. You know me. I love, if you will, history. And science and, all those things. I'm a cool geek. Y'all ain't said nothing. And I love all those things. And I learned while I was up in Cambridge visiting my son, I learned that Harvard was the second institution that have given the most lives in service of this country other than the Army. I said, what in the world? I walked into their memorial church, and on the wall was all of the peoples who gave their lives in service of their country. And the wall was full of so many people. And I looked over at the dean, and I said, my God, look at all these names. And he says, yes, Harvard is second organization in this country that has given more lives than any other than the armed forces in service of the country. I said, my God. I said, you mean to tell me people went here and left and went into to join battles? He said, oh, yeah. He said, doctors and teachers and lawyers. And I said, oh, my God. And then I began to learn about some people. And I learned about a name, man by the name of Joshua Chamberlain. And he was a student of theology. And he was not a soldier. But when called, he answered the call. And he climbed the ranks to become a colonel in the 20th Maine Volunteer Infantry Regiment Union Army. That means the Blue Jackets, shall I say now. And on July 2nd, if you will, it was Chamberlain and his 300-soldier regiment. They were all that stood between the Confederates and certain defeat at the battlefield in Gettysburg. It was in this spot about 2:30 p.m. that the 15th and 47th Alabama Infantry Regiment of the Confederate Army charged, but Chamberlain and his men held their ground. Then came the second charge and the third charge and the fourth and the fifth charge. By the last charge, only 80 Blue Jackets stood standing. Chamberlain himself was knocked down with a bullet that hit his buckle, my God. And by this 34-year-old school teacher decided he was going to get back up because he chose to have a date with destiny. Oh, God, it was when Sergeant Tozier informed Chamberlain that no reinforcements were coming to him and his men, oh, God, and they were down to one round of ammunition per soldier, Chamberlain had to make a choice. And the choice he decided to make was either I could sit here and die and wait for my enemy to come and get me, or I could charge. Look at your neighbor and say, I got to learn how to charge. God, he looked at his men and he said, ain't nobody else coming, and we got. While the enemy was reloading and getting ready and thought it had already won, Chamberlain said, get your bayonets ready, reload, because the 80 of us is going to go and attack. Do you know if it wasn't for them that the Confederates would have got the high ground? And if they would have got the high ground, they had the possibility of winning the war. What I'm trying to say to you is, you may be the only thing standing between you and the next generation. Y'all ain't said nothing. And you got to choose not to let the enemy get the high ground over your children, over your marriage, over your money, over your career. Slap your name and say, I'm about to charge. Come on here. You better get a bump-a-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da in your spirit and say, devil, I will not sit here and die. I'm going to get everything God said I'm supposed to have. Slap your neighbor high five and say, charge, baby, charge, 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 charge your marriage, charge your spirit, charge your business, charge your soul. Y'all sit down, I'm almost there. You like that, huh? Come on, touch somebody again and say, you got to charge, baby, you got to charge, you got to charge, you got to charge, you got to charge. They asked Mr. Chamberlain, they asked him because he went on to serve as governor of Maine and then became the president of his alma mater that he graduated and got his undergrad from. And they asked him about his heroism. He was awarded the Medal of Honor by President Grover Cleveland. And they asked him, holding this little discussion about what he had did and about how his 80 men shaped the narrative of the war, God, the Civil War. And he says, my God, how in the world did you come to the capacity to do such a foolish thing? And here are the words of Mr. Chamberlain. He said, I had deep within me the inability to do nothing. I knew I may die, but it wasn't going to be with a bullet in my back. And so the only thing I can rely on is the God on the inside of me. Oh, God, can you hear what I'm just saying? The inability to do nothing. Oh, it could be that you're too busy trying to get victory for yourself. And it could be that you got to find the inability to do nothing and decide I'm not going down with something in my back. And if I got to go down, I'm going to see how I'm going to get taken down. I can't get help here from anybody. Slap your name and say, you're doing too much. You're doing too much. I got you're pressing too hard. I wish I had somebody in here. Sometimes too much info will set you back. It'll make you indecisive. I know it's the information age, and I know you want to be edumacated. Y'all ain't said nothing. I got it. I get it. I understand that, and I value all of those things. I love data. I love to be informed in my decisions, but none of those things that I've learned and come to know about church and church governance and 501c3 law and business, none of those things has helped me when it came to make a decision about where God was taking me, because at the end of the day, it was me and the Holy Spirit in a room, and he's saying, trust me, trust me, trust me, and I'm saying, that don't make no sense, and he says, I take the foolish things to confound the wise. Trust me, trust me. But the experts are saying, my God, I wish I had somebody. How are you going to trust an expert? Come on here, somebody, when you serve the true and living God who made the universe in which you live. Come on. God blesses me for the battle because he gave me the choice. Oh, this is so powerful. To do nothing. Jesus was anything but passive. He was the epitome, though, of passion. See, doing nothing doesn't mean you're passive. Doing nothing could simply mean I'm on offense, not defense. Okay. Doing nothing doesn't mean I'm inactive. It actually means that I'm a person of action. It's just the action that I'm taking is not my own. Okay, let me set the standard for you. Let me set the standard for you. Deuteronomy 15, the Lord comes along and he says to the children of Israel, the Lord will bless you as he promised you, and you shall lend unto many nations. Well, watch me now, but you should not borrow. The word lend and borrow are the exact same word. It means to take a pledge when something is taken. He says, you will take a pledge, but watch me now, you will not have to take a pledge that you will repay, because you will not be the one repaying. You will take a pledge because you will lend. Well, these people had nothing to give. What God was saying to them is, I am going to give you what I have. And then, therefore, you will not have to borrow from any other nation. In other words, I am going to make sure that you have your own distinction, that you have your own economy, that you have your own land. Y'all ain't saying nothing. That you have your own moral value system. I'm going to make sure that your culture is so off the chain that you're not going to have to go and borrow from any other culture to do anything that you need to do. When we look at the word lend and borrow, we think of it in terms of finance, but it was far more powerful than just money. He was saying, you're not going to have to borrow how they believe. You're not going to have to borrow how they live. You're not going to, I wish I had help. You're not going to have to borrow how they go and siege land, because you won't have to do that. You won't have to fight and scrape and hustle, and I feel like preaching to summer. You won't have to do it the way they do it. Stay with me. So here we go. So what we then learn from that concept is that God requires us to do something, but that something looks like nothing. Are you still with me? It's not that it doesn't require sacrifice of you. It's just that the sacrifice that it requires to you looks like nothing, but it's everything to God. Well, Pastor, what sacrifice is that? Jesus said it this way in Luke 9:23. He says, take up your cross daily and follow me. Y'all not in here with me. And so what you have to understand then is that when the children of Israel would go over into their promised land, as the Lord was telling them in Deuteronomy 15 and setting the precedent of how he was going to bless their lives, and when they go and cross over, the word of the Lord comes to Joshua and says, consecrate your yourselves, for tomorrow God will do amazing things among you. He was saying to them, set yourselves apart because God has something amazing for you. In other words, he's going to bless you just as he has promised. But remember, the blessing is going to come, my God, with the understanding that you don't have to be like, look like, act like any other people. You have to be my chosen people. Look at your neighbor and say, amazing things are on the way. Come on here. I don't care what your situation look like. I don't care if you in here right now and you got the worst report of your life. Look at that neighbor again and say, amazing things are on the way. Yes, it is. Anytime God is about to do something amazing in our lives, he calls us to consecrate to him. Look at your neighbor and say, but I got to consecrate myself. Come on here. That's the pattern. Our problem is we try to do God's job for him. We want to do amazing things for God when God wants to do amazing for you. And it seems noble. I want to do something great for the Lord. I used to pray that prayer all the time. God, I want to do something great. I want to change the game. I want to be a different preacher. I want to do this and I want to do that. And then finally, God got it into my thick skull that, dude, it is not about you. What you have to understand, for you to do anything great, it's going to require way less of you and much more of me.
I know. It's okay. Okay. Pastor, what are you talking about? Okay. It's not hard. What I'm talking about, but what I'm saying to you is that if you believe that God is about to do something amazing in your life, then you can't do God's job for him. So then what's your job? Let me enlighten you. Consecrate yourself. What's consecration? Let me help you. Consecration is not going to church. Consecration is not your daily devotion. Consecration is not fasting. Consecration is not keeping the Ten Commandments. Consecration is not sharing your faith with a friend. Consecration is not even tithing. Consecration is not repeating the sinner's prayer. Consecration is not volunteering for some ministry group. Consecration is not leading a small ministry group. Consecration is not raising your hands in worship or singing a worship song. Consecration is not going on some mission trip to Zimbabwe somewhere. Y'all ain't said nothing. All those things are wonderful, but it's not consecration. Consecration is more than behavior modification. It's more than conformity to a moral code. It's more than doing good deeds. It is deeper. It is something truer. The word consecrate means to set yourself apart. By definition, consecration demands your full devotion, which means consecration is dethroning yourself and enthroning Jesus Christ. To consecrate, you have to say, not my will, but thy will be done. To consecrate, you have to say, God, I'll be a pawn on your cosmic chessboard. If you want to, just move me however you want to move me. Send me where you want me to go. Tell me what you want me to do. Look at your neighbor. Are you ready to consecrate? Oh God, you were ready for amazing, but now are you really ready? I'm almost there. It's giving God veto power. It's surrendering all to him. It's recognizing that every second of time, every ounce of energy, every bit of money, everything you have in your life belongs to him. My greatest concern for the body of Christ is that we all go into church, but none of us are going to Jesus. And therefore, because we simply go to church and not to him, we become bored. How can you be bored with the creator of the universe? Ah, God. if you would stop trying to do God's job for him, ah, God, you will see amazing things begin to happen in your life. I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. If, my God, you would decide, if you will, that God does what God does, not because of us, but God does what God does in spite of us. Ah, God, that means all I got to do is get out of his way. And if I can get out of his way, my God, he can do something off the chain in my life. How do I get out of God's way? I'm closing because y'all don't like what you're hearing. No, I am. No, I said, oh, it's all good. I'm going to preach it anyway. Whether you like it or not, I'm going to preach it. How do I stay out of God's way? Look at your neighbor and say, stay humble. Come on, come on, come on. Look at me and say, stay humble, stay humble, stay humble, stay humble. Greatness always follows gratitude. Touch your neighbor. Stay humble, stay humble, stay humble. I wish I had a church in here. No matter what you accomplish, stay grateful to what God has done in your life. No matter where life takes you, I wish I had somebody. Have a bit of thanksgiving in your heart and say, Father, I wouldn't have made it if it wasn't without you. As a matter of fact, if you don't keep keeping me, I don't know how I'm going to make it another day. Touch your neighbor and say, stay humble, stay humble, stay humble. Pride, my God, comes before the fall, and a haughty spirit before that. Touch your neighbor and say, I got to thank God for all that he's done in my life. Sometimes I forget, but my God, God has been good to me. Well, you're going to shout in just a few moments. Nudge your neighbor because they fell asleep and say, God's been good to me. I can't even tell it all. If I start giving you my testimony, I might lose my mind right up in here. If I start telling you about the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, slap somebody high five and say, no, God's been too good to me. Ah, God, I feel an anointing of the Holy Ghost. Look at him again. If they don't want to give you a high five, find somebody that wants to give you a high five and say, God's been too good to me. Too good, too good, too good. I feel an anointing in here. I got to stay humble. He's blessed me more times than I can have imagined. He's healed my body. He saved my soul. He pulled me out of the muck and mire of life. He refreshes my mind daily. I should be in a crazy house somewhere. But the peace of God that transcends all understanding guards my heart and mind in Christ. Slap your neighbor and say, you got to stay humble, stay humble. Look at him again and say, you got to stay hungry. You got to stay hungry. Ah, God, you got to start beginning to thirst for his righteousness. Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, I got to stay hungry because God has more for me. I wish I had a church in here, for the Lord will bless you just that he has promised you. Look at your neighbor and say, I got to stay hungry. If you stay hungry, if you stay humble, you'll get out of God's way. They that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. If you aren't hungry for God, then you're full of something else. And that's why God can fill you with his spirit. But if you choose at this moment to empty yourself, die to yourself, he'll change you before the service is over. You have to realize it requires your humbleness and it requires your hunger. But it also requires what I like to call a holy dare. A holy dare. What do you mean? A holy dare sounds like this. I dare you, devil. Just give me a quarter of a church. Not even half a church. Just One, I settled for one third this morning. I promise I'll settle for one third. I dare you, devil. See, it's not just your humbleness, it's not just your hunger, but it's your holy dare to tell the enemy you will not win this battle because you have already lost the war. Jesus took care of my eternal condition. Now I'm about to take care of the rest because my mind is going to be stayed on Him. I'm going to think on what's true, what's noble, what's praiseworthy. My mind is not going to wander through exhaustion about what God is doing because I know what He's already done. And the same God that did that for me back then is the same God, oh, He said nothing to me, that can do it for me right now. So I just need about a third of you to take a holy dare and point your finger in the nose of the devil and say, I dare you to try to stop my destiny, try to stop my blessing, try to stop my future, try to stop my salvation, try to stop my walk with the Lord, try to touch my children, try to touch my vision, try to touch my dream. I dare you. Oh, God. I got a third of you. That's all I need. I don't need everybody. I just need somebody. That don't make no sense to me. It's okay. I think God makes sense to you. I dare you, devil. Fall into the trap of trying to exhaust me. You forgot. I serve an eternal God. And the Lord will bless me as He has promised. And if it doesn't hit me in my lifetime, then that flows down to my children and my children's children. But the word of the Lord is going to come true in my life. God, I feel it. Some of y'all wholehearted like, I dare you, devil. I don't want no trouble. The Lord will bless me as He has promised. Oh, God. I just need about five people to shout, I'm blessed. In the city, I feel like preaching. In the field, when I come, when I go, in my storehouse, in my basket, the Lord thy God has blessed me. Yes, He had. Slap five people high five and say, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, whether you like it or not, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm facing. I am the blessed of the Lord. His blessings follow me. His mercies follow me. I'm surrounded by His favor like a shield. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Slap somebody a high five again. I'm blessed. No matter what's coming my way, I'm still blessed. For every battle, for every heartache, for every hardship, I'm already blessed. And I know, I feel like preaching, that God can make all things work together. I feel like preaching for my good. I'm blessed. Grab somebody by the hand all over the church. The Lord will bless me as He has promised. I left this part for last. The word blessed, the Hebrew word barak. Isn't that something? We gonna miss barak, I can tell you that.
Hebrew word barak, the Greek word makarizo, which means to be indwelt by God. Blessed for the battle has nothing to do with your car, your house, your clothes. So you can hashtag blessed all you want to. Your hashtag blessed could be hashtag debt. You didn't hear what I said. Hashtag debt. I'm blessed. No, you're in debt. And when the bill come due, y'all ain't said nothing. You're going to be begging to pay the bill. That's not blessed. The fundamental meaning of blessed is that God lives in me. And because he lives in me, I have to make room for him. That's all God wants is some room. Let me move. Let me do this thing. In 2008, I set out to build a building because the Lord asked me to. I'm a man of action. And so when God asked me to do something, I'm boom, gone. And I mean, I hire an architect, get the land surveyed, and I am moving. And then all these problems come and all these conflicts. And then I go, God, but you said. God didn't ask you to do it. He asked you to start it. Now just pay your tithes and offering because I just saved you a bunch of money in therapy. I'm just messing. Just playing. He didn't ask you to do it. He just said, start this. You're trying to do it. And I have business acumen. I understand all those things. I understand, dotting your I, crossing your T, do your due diligence. That's not what I'm talking about. I was actually trying to do it. Thought it would come through who I know and my skill. And, no. If you just give him some room to move, he can do amazing. So you have to stay humble and you have to stay hungry for God. Not for a new suit or cars or clothes. Man, I could care less about any of that stuff. I got a mentee that I took out to my house and he's like, oh my God, you live? I said, boy, I want to get out of this house so bad you have no idea. He said, why? I said, because I don't want all this. I don't want that. I don't care. He said, man, I give anything. I said, oh, you want to buy it? You can have this mortgage, brother. I can tell you that right now. I don't care about that stuff. Car, man, forget. I want what God has for my life. And all that stuff comes as a byproduct of God. So you stay hungry for God. He'll bless you because he's in you and he loves the best. His streets are gold. You are not outdoing God. Trust me. This gate is pearl. Come on. Ballin'. That's ballin'. Your little crib ain't doing nothing. To stay hungry, but you have to dare the devil. See, I'm on offense. I'm not on defense. You're not. He not getting me in my back. See, that's a profound statement. I'm not running from you. I'm storming the gates of hell. You gonna take me out? You gonna have to look me in the eye, bruh. I'm not running from me. I hear you, Holy Spirit. You're running from yourself. Yeah. See, you're too Christian to love sin, but too sinful to love Christ.
And I'm not coming down on you. I'm speaking from my heart. So you're caught in between. You want to live right, but you don't want to let go of you. I like that. Well, okay. Then go ahead and have that. But you can't have Christ and that. I love weed. Oh, go smoke your weed. Pastor said, I can smoke my weed. You can, but you can't have that and Christ. So it comes down to what you love more. See, I love him more than what I love for me. So I choose him. Because that stuff never satisfies. So I always have to keep going back and back. But with him, it's new or never. Meaning I experience something new every time. If I go to a drug or if I go to a woman or if I go to a mindset or for depression, whatever it might be, I have to keep searching for a deeper feeling. And I never get it. But when I go to God, it's new. Oh, it's never. Communion is an act of remembrance of what Christ has done for us. It is a great place to consecrate. It is a great place to say, God, I dethrone myself and I enthrone you. I take myself down off of my high horse and I say, God, not my will, but thine will be done. The reason I ask you to hold that hand is because somebody needs to be encouraged this morning. We got it all mixed up that you got to have it all together. Consecration is some big holy word. No, it just means that I'm tired of doing it my way. I want to do it God's way. And as we partake of Holy Communion this morning, I want you to make a choice. You can keep doing it your way, but you're only going to get your results. But if you make room for God to do amazing in your life, you stay humble, you stay hungry, and you give the devil a holy dare, God will take you places beyond your wildest imagination. God has taken me places I never thought I would be. I never thought I would be speaking to senators and congressmen. And they listening to me. Now, what value do I have to add? But they're seeking me for wisdom and counsel. Hallelujah. Go figure. God is moving me a life into to a place in a dimension I dreamt about before, but never thought I could get there, actually. But he's doing it. And he's not doing it the way I thought it would come. I just moved out the way and got humble, got hungry, and I dare the devil daily. I dare the devil daily. So, as you're about to partake of communion, consecrate yourself and let God do amazing in your life. They're passing it now. You can remain standing as we will partake together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Communion has been given to the body of Christ to remember what the Lord has done. That by his body, which was broken for us, we declare our healing. By his blood that was shed for us, we declare our righteousness. Hallelujah. Sin and sickness and death has no power over you. For he has redeemed us from the curse of the law
He became sin who knew no sin. And he died so that you could have life. Life everlasting. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can choose him right now. Say, come into my life, Father. He'll do it at this very moment. You ain't got to be fancy. You ain't even got to come down front. Right in your seat right now. Father, come into my heart. Change me. Be the Lord of my life. He'll do it right now. He'll make you a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things made new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Has everybody been served? Are we still at the back? Ushers, let me know when everyone's been served. Hallelujah. Is this mine? Y'all gave me two. I got one. She opened, sorry. Thank you. Amen. It was in the same night that the Lord was betrayed, that he took bread and broke it. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. After the same manner, he took the cup. When he had supped, he said, this cup is new testament of my blood. For as often as you drink it, you do so in remembrance of me. Scripture tells us that we should be reflective when we take communion. We should search our hearts and our minds for anything that's not like God. And so we would be remiss not to do so today. And when we take this moment and this pause, reflect on where you are with the Lord. Reflect on how you see him. Reflect on what he has done. So you can't be confused about what he is doing. Because the same God yesterday is the same God today and forevermore. Take a moment to reflect for yourself. Amen. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. Said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Receive the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the same manner, he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new testament of my blood. For as often as you drink it, you do so in remembrance of me. Receive the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Give God the best Thanksgiving praise you can give him. Come on, thank him for what he's done. Thank him for what he is doing. Thank him for what he's about to do. Father, we thank you for this word. Seal us in it with your power. Father, we stay humble. We stay hungry. And we dare the devil with a holy dare to try and stop what we know you've already given us the victory for. We thank you for the blessing that is upon us. And we thank you that you will bless us as you has promised. And we give you praise for it. Now, Father, as we leave this place, let your angels surround us and your blood covers from now into eternity. May your face shine upon us. And may you be gracious unto us and give us peace. In Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. Come on, hug two or three people before you go and say, you're blessed, baby. You're blessed. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night.